Welcome to We Are The Watchers.
This is episode 239, top of the day to you both, Jasper and Archie.
Good evening or good whatever time of the day you're listening
Morning.
To this. How are you guys?
Yeah, good. What about you? You're a little under the weather, aren't you?
Tons of non-COVID related sickness going on here.
Wonderful.
I'm at that point,
yeah.
Where,
that's great.
At that point where, you know, like you do the negative rat and it comes back negative and you're like, how is this even possible at this point?
Yeah. Well, you're not allowed to have a sick day then if you don't have COVID. You must be healthy.
That's right.
Oh,
only COVID related sick days are allowed these days.
Greetings, subscribers and members of the Watchersville latest newsletter. This week's edition is brought to you by 1982. The year gave us E.T., The Young Ones, and Sons and Daughters. There was something for everyone back then. Productivity has gone through the roof in the council chambers since they reintroduced caffeine. For the last 4 months, it's been banned due to the mayor's strict diet. He said if he couldn't have it, no one else could. Rubbish collection took double the time, roundabout designs accidentally were square-shaped, and the complaints department stopped answering the phone entirely. The rest of the town thought it was a bit rough, and there were attempts by locals to sneak some in to get their renovation applications approved. It worked and is the reason why caffeine is back. A raft of approvals went through for house extensions that were clearly illegal. One homeowner got approved to extend into and over their neighbour's backyard, complete with a slide that ends up in next door's pool. Now that council workers have coffee again, expect everything to go back to normal. Emily Shoestringer has won the title Bestest Emily in Paris this past weekend. She flew there to compete in the Emilies, the obstacle course that makes Tough Mudder and that ninja show on TV look like child's play. Open only to Emily, she was one of 3,225 competitors and she blew the rest out of the water. Well done, Emily. The one who won, not the others, not the losers. The reading of The Hobbit will still go ahead at the library, despite the only copy of the book being borrowed. Head librarian Penrhodes will bring in his own copy to read. He's also put in an order for a second copy, just in case this happens again. That's it for now. Stay safe and happy, all residents of Watchersville. We're going to do a slightly different episode this week. We're not going to talk about stuff that we've watched. We're not going to talk about the news. We're going to just talk about some stuff that we've always enjoyed but really gotten into the past couple of years as a group, and we're talking about tabletop games. Now, there was a discussion between the three of us, right? We were like, should we call it board games or not, because it's going to get a little complicated because there'll be card games in there as well. So we've decided on tabletop games.
I think that's appropriate. Like, half of the games that I've thought of aren't actually on a board.
So, yeah, right.
But, you know,
yeah.
Like, half of the good that's ones right. are non-board related board games. But yeah. I've always called them board games. It's weird.
So, yeah, whether we call them tabletop or board games or card games, that's what we'll be doing, and it's a very special episode. But first off, Jasper, you've been here before. You're a carryover champion. I think you've been on it twice.
Yes, twice. Once on my own, yeah. And once with all three of you, well, three of us. So it's been a great experience both times. Really enjoy coming on the show, and yeah, stoked to be back. So I couldn't be there in person, which is maybe going to affect our rapport, but hopefully we'll get through it all right.
Firstly, how are you a carryover champion? What have you won in the past? What have you won?
Just a champion.
The right to be here.
Just being a champion of the podcast in general. Yeah.
Oh, you championed the podcast, I see. Okay.
Yeah, he's championed it. Right. We call him Champ. And Arch, you haven't been here before, but you've been in this studio before. But I guess, you know, we should do a little look behind the curtains. We're cousins. So that's how we all know each other, cousins. Well, you two are brothers, but I did actually ask you guys to come on for the Watchers end of year quiz, because I was like, oh my god, you two are going to be amazing because you'll be super competitive. But I can't remember what happened, but it was well, you didn't come. That's all I remember.
Maybe that is one I do want a champion.
Yeah, I think this year sort of lock us in. Yeah, lock us in. I think that's a very prestigious award. Steph and I got pipped to the post a few years ago, which was very disappointing. So I'm keen to come in and maybe try and get it this time. So, yep, we'll probably see you at the end of the year.
Yeah, I reckon, like, if you guys team up, look out everyone else.
Look, I feel like we're surface level good at a lot of topics.
Yeah.
But we can argue and discuss confidently enough to sound like experts in many things.
Correct.
Yeah.
Like tabletop games, which I wouldn't say that any of us are experts in at all.
No.
But I feel like we play a lot of them.
The potential issue with Archie and myself as a team is that we cover a lot of the same ground. So if you're thinking about a Venn diagram of our knowledge bases, it's too, like, kind of, I don't know, I wouldn't say it's like medium to large circle, but there's a lot of overlap. The overlapping sections are much larger than the not.
A circle with a little bruise swelling on the side of it.
Yeah, that's a perfect way to describe it. That's so good.
Pretty much, yeah. Or two little lumps, two little ears.
Two little lumps.
Great.
Jesper and Archie, two little lumps.
Oh,
all right, we've got to get into this. We've got to get into this because we've got no idea how long this is going to take. Now, Arch, you've kind of devised a really nice, succinct way of describing how we're going to go through this, which a lot of people will already know this system. But just in case, it's not going to be like, oh, this is our top 10 and we're going to go through it. We've gamified it.
I do have a gamified way, but Jasper, do you want to give a little definition of like?
I think just
what could actually be included in what we're talking about.
Yeah, I guess just to set the scene, I think the thing about tabletop gaming is that, in my opinion, it's so accessible to anybody who wants to get into it. Like, there's really no skill bar. There's no, it's not like, say, video games, potentially, where maybe you're not so great at like controlling things or using a mouse or whatever, or you need really expensive equipment to do it. It's, you can go and get a really awesome tabletop game for 10, 15, 20 bucks, and then the range goes all the way up to like $600. And I think that it's so much fun. It's got a really broad range of different things that you can do in these games, which I hope we're going to cover today. And I think maybe the reason why a lot of people don't get into it is because, all right, well, I'll ask you guys a question. When I say board game, what do you think comes into people's mind, first of all, in the general population?
Oh, like Monopoly.
Yeah, Monopoly. Yeah. Or say like Cluedo or whatever. Like, and what do you think about the game of Monopoly?
Board flipping. Anger.
Yeah.
You've got to have Park Lane or Mayfair or it's over. Not playing.
Yeah.
Just... childhood fights.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's not a very good game. I think it can be cheesed. Somebody wins it like hours before the game's actually over. People get eliminated and then just have to sit there and watch everybody else play it for like 3 hours. So look, I think that, you know, since that game came out, there's been a big evolution in board gaming. And now, over the last, well, how long have we been doing it for? 3 years? 4 years?
Yeah, properly. But like there would always be, particularly Christmases, right, Arch? We'd always be playing.
Christmases was like all the cousins together and let's get in and do it.
Yeah, and
since
we've been sort of broadening our minds with board games, there's just so many different things out there. And really, there's something for everyone, right? You could honestly say that you could, every one of your friends, you would enjoy X game.
So we've devised a way to gamify it that is better than here's my top five, here's your top five. We're going to be doing a 5-round snake draft of our favorite tabletop games. So how we're going to do it, each of the three teams, Team Leo, Team Jasper and Team Archie, will have 5 picks each. Each game can only be picked once. So if someone takes it, no one else can have it on their team. Mm. We'll be using a snake draft format. So if you're not aware of what that is, say Leah has the first pick, the order will go Leah, Jasper, Archie. Then round 2 will be Archie, Jasper, Leah. Yeah. then Leah, Jasper, Archie, Archie, Jasper, Leah, et cetera, for five rounds. And we'll go like that. I think I've just given Leah the first pick, which I'm upset about. But we'll take it from there.
That's only fair.
In preparation. Yeah, you are the watcher, I guess.
Watcher, so, yeah.
Not the Marvel watcher, but you're not a big, bald, black guy. But but in preparation, we have put together our own draft board. So we've each got draft board somewhere between 10 and 15 games. Yeah. And hopefully I get my top five and nobody steals any of mine.
Mm. Well, let's see how we go.
Yeah,
it'll be interesting to see what the final few are, because I'm intrigued, because then obviously we're going to say, look, the three of us went through this big rigmarole. These are the games we're going to be playing from now on.
Yeah.
To the rest of the cousins.
I guess it's just good because we're going to end up sort of with a top 15 games and our own individual top fives.
Yeah.
But they're all each top five is going to be unique, I guess you could say. Leah is up with the first pick.
On we go. Well, I mean, Leah up first, so you just kind of go with my first pick I take, blah.
All right, my first pick I'm going to take Catan. It's a classic. We played it an awful lot. Yeah, it had to happen. Played it a lot. Every time I've played with Archie, he's won, but I still enjoy it.
No. I refuse that.
Why do you think it's my favorite game?
I strongly refute that, because I remember the last time we played, I made two excellent plays in a row right before Archie was going to make them.
And
he was very mad. And if this was sort of 15 years ago, there definitely would have been a table flip involved for sure.
I would have flipped the crap out of that board. If I was under the age of
15. That's right. Well, do you want to give everyone a rundown of how it works?
Be honest.
Leah?
All right. So there's a bit of chance, there's a bit of strategy, but your strategy can really just get absolutely derailed by not only other players, but the roll of the dice. If you roll, because you use two dice, I should say. If you roll a seven, then there's a lot of problems for a lot of people, because a rubber comes out and can steal a whole heap of resources. And the resources help you build up roads, settlements, cities, armies. And each one of those will give you a point, and you've got to get 10 victory points to win. And that's how. It's done. And the more players, we've found this out, the more players your strategy's just, you can't strategize too much. You can only strategize like two players ahead of you. Otherwise things just go messy.
Also, the way the game works is that there's five resources, or am I mixing that up? I think there's five different resources. And sometimes you get
hay.
Can't remember.
Yeah.
Wood.
Stone,
brick, walnut. Yeah, walnut we call it, sheep we call it.
Sheep.
Yeah, so that's the five. Yeah, yeah.
So basically you're – just look at us experts. Basically, by the way –
Don't do a rundown of the whole game, Jasper. We'll be here for an hour.
No, I was just saying it's great because my favorite thing about it is that the way the game works is that sometimes certain resources are in abundance and others are really, really rare. And then that involves trading between different people. And so somebody can just have a huge advantage if they've got a huge amount of resources and they become very powerful and you're desperate to trade with this person because they have so much of it. So lots of opportunity for big arguments.
Replayability too, right, Arch? You know, like...
Yeah, replayability. Well, that's it. And on that, like, I think my two favorite reasons... My reasons why that is that was number one on my board. I'm very annoyed that you took that. is because there are so many different ways that you can win, and so it's not locked into the same formulaic kind of game each time you play. It's like, all right, let's sit down. We know what's going to happen. It's like, no, you have no idea what's going to happen. You can have two dice that just decide they're going to roll fours for the entire game, and no other numbers, and not the eights. And the nines are like the big numbers that should be rolled. And then you're cooked, like your whole strategy's done. So like there's so many different ways to win. And then the other reason is that you can just have absolute wild card personalities out there who will either trade anything and everything with no strategy or just trade nothing, even if it is the best thing for them to do. And that is like just absolute wild card. It's like looking for one hay and people go, I'll give you $5 for it. I was like, whoa, okay.
Yeah.
Fine.
And it just absolutely cooks everyone else's strategy if you've just got a loose unit and like that. It's great fun. Because like it's different with whatever people you play.
A lot of the strategies are also sort of mutually exclusive. So if one person is going for something, then that prevents another person from doing it as well. So you can get victory points for example, building the longest road, and somebody can have a road that stretches, you know, well, it's about to stretch across the whole map, and then they get cut off somewhere, which allows someone else to get that victory point. So yeah, great pick, great game, classic game. I think everybody should have that one.
That's my Michael Jordan right there. Yeah.
All right. So that should,
right.
So that brings me to my first pick, correct? I'm going to pick, and this might be some massive recency bias, but Mysterium.
That was my number three. I'm with you on that 100%. Yeah.
So this is one that we've only just recently got. It was Leah's birthday about a couple of weeks ago, and we bought this game. Basically, you are a bunch of mediums trying to decipher clues that are given to you by a ghost who knows things about a murder that's taken place. So one player is a ghost, the rest of the players are mediums, and the clues that are given are through these cards that are to represent dreams. So they're all super weird, ethereal, and strange looking pictures. And the first round, you're giving clues about who did it. The second round, you're giving clues about where it happened. And the third round, you're doing it with the murder weapon. So in my opinion, this game is like Cluedo if Cluedo was actually good and fun. And
it's basically Cluedo, but with dreams. Yeah.
But with dreams and with...
with a ghost going, the answer's yes.
So it's imperative that you put on spooky music while you're playing it, which we've done.
We did. We found heaps of playlists on Spotify. It was great.
Yeah. So generally our gaming sessions go for a couple of hours, and normally we'll play one game to start off with, another game, we'll take up the chunk of it, and then we'll play another game. This time we basically started with Mysterium and we played it for probably about 5 hours. It was
I turned up like 4 hours late to gaming because I'd been away, and you guys are sitting there in like a dark room with music on. I was like, oh, what have you guys played today? It's like just this.
So it's so intense because the ghost player is only able to communicate through these picture cards and we made the rule where if you get it right, it's one knock, if you get it wrong, it's two knocks, and those are the only forms of communication that you're allowed to use. And when people are discussing what your clues mean, it's just so nerve-wracking and intense because obviously you know what the answer is, but the only way that you can guide people towards that answer is through these pictures. So for example, somebody might be wearing a hat with a big pom-pom on it, and you put out a card that has a big red sun, but somebody looks at their card that also has a bird on it, and they start looking at clues to do with birds, and they go down this whole other thread of reasoning that's completely not what you expected, but also you can't say it's wrong because, well, you can't say anything. It's super intense. There seems to be a lot of replayability because
the ghost is like, no, go the other way.
I think this
wrong clue.
This game is especially good, I think, because it's cooperative. So everybody's working together. You're all trying to solve the same murder. There's not so much chance at a table flip, but it is frustrating in its own. It is frustrating in its own way. So
that's what. One of the positive attributes, one of the strengths is the lack of flipping.
But I just can't get over
Oh, dear. Very nice. That's a good pick.
Yeah.
If you have, I think, three players, then the two psychics or mediums have to play as four players anyway.
I think there's a lot of replayability because, like, there's ways to make it harder. Mm. in that you get fewer goes and fewer cards. And I can't get over how beautifully illustrated this game is. All of the pictures and the artwork is just so lovely to look at. So I would thoroughly recommend anybody who wants to have a good time. I think this one's really accessible as well. So anybody can pick it up really quickly.
Yeah. Once again, on like picking up new games, because we've done quite a lot of that lately. And this is something that I don't think enough people do. Watch a YouTube video of how to play it, and it'll take 5 minutes of your time, and it'll save like the three practice rounds and try to work 100%. Out what's going on.
That's right.
You can just get straight into it. That increases the accessibility to tabletop games, I think.
If you aren't getting your watches fixed just by listening, follow the watches on Twitter and Instagram.
All right, it's my turn. I've got picks three, four as well, because I'm at the end of the
super
snake.
Powerful.
And the snake's going to come the other way. I'm pretty happy. I get like my second. Okay, so my first pick is Codenames.
Yes.
That was on my board as well.
Yeah.
And
that was so always going to go really early, I think.
I was surprised you didn't take it there, Jas, number two. So I'm stoked I got Codenames. That was number two on my list behind Catan. Codenames, I played it with so many different groups. I think it's a pretty wide-reaching game. I think it's pretty well known at this stage as well. And it's so easy to set up, so easy to play. So many great, hilarious moments, no matter who you're playing with. And like the replayability is great, because if you play with different people, their brains can just work in like completely different ways to yours. And they'll throw out one word clues that just like it's just a word association game, right? Except some people's word associations make absolute zero sense to you and 100% sense to someone else. And so you can both be on the same team trying to associate the word that your team member's given you. And they're going, well, it's clearly this. And you're going, like, well, how is that related to that word whatsoever? Oh, man. So you've got, like, one player – or you've got two teams and one team member is basically looking at a battleship board where they can see where your team's – cards are, the other team's cards are, and all the tablets are just flipped over. And they're basically getting you to...
Sorry.
Oh!
No, that's good.
And they flip it over. Oh!
Sorry.
So the person's basically trying to use one word and one number to get you to make a word association with the words on the board, kind of like Taboo almost. And it's great. It's really good fun. You just got to flip over all
before
of your
the
cards,
other team. Yeah, it's two teams.
It's great sober. It's great drunk. You can do it with it. You can do it with a big group of people as well, because there's always just going to be one person on that side of the board who's saying the word and the number. But you can have like five people arguing on the other side, all like arguing over which ones to pick. I think it works even better if you have some banter from the other team as well, throwing out, oh, I think it goes really well.
That's Archie's like, that's your tactic.
That's his go-to.
Yeah.
Just
talking about like countries and going, oh, if you put a S on the end of whale, it's a country. Sharks are from Australia, I reckon. I reckon you should say shark.
I think my favorite thing about this game is that there are opportunities to make massive Hail Mary plays as well. So obviously the game goes in turns and you can get sort of a little bit behind the other team and then just say, all right, I'm going to try and do a four card word and then try and get somebody to guess four of them and then get yourself ahead. So there's a real opportunity to do those hero plays. And I think that's really, really, really fun.
And there's different versions of it as well, right?
Yeah, we've just bought a Harry Potter version of it and we're pretty keen to play that one. So hopefully that's gonna be good.
All right, I'm going to go to my next pick, if you guys are good with that. So I'm going to go a bit of strategy here. So my number three pick, I'm going to hold on to that one because I reckon we'll still be there later. I don't reckon you guys are going to pick in the next couple. So I'm actually going to go to my number four on my draft board, which is Ticket to Ride.
Oh, yeah, yes. That was my good. Second. So
taking
well done.
You off Lee's board. Beautiful. All right. So this is what I want. I just want to take take games off your draft board so my team's better than yours. Yeah, Ticket to Ride, really basically, you've just got a geographical location like Europe or the US with the actual cities and approximate geographical locations. And then you've just got train lines going from city to city. And you've just got to make the sickest train lines and make the longest ones.
Bro, look
and you've just got to like, you've just got to like unlock the right colored train lines and that kind of stuff. But I just love it. I love geography. I think it's really fun. but I also think it's fun just connecting huge dots. It's like a huge dot to dot. It takes an hour.
Massive. Mm-hmm. And there's so many different versions of it. Like you said, like Europe. I mean, there's a Wild Wild West one that I want to play because apparently an alien spaceship comes down and can really just ruin the whole game. So I'm really intrigued about that one. But here, like Scandinavia, India. I know. I don't know. I don't know what it is. So we're going to have to play it soon.
Yeah. The cool thing about the different versions is that they all play very differently. They could very well have just gone, okay, this is the same game but with, you know, American stations, or this is the same game but with European stations, and just move the things around a bit. But they all play slightly differently. That you have to use different strategies to win on all the different versions. So you feel like you're almost playing a completely different game with the same rules. So that's good.
I found when you're playing the Japanese version, the game goes really fast.
Oh, really?
Just because the trains are so fast.
I was halfway through saying "rrr," and then I got it. I was like, "Oh, I've got to finish the word though."
Nice one.
Oh, that was
plus, they're also
reaction.
So efficient over there with building the train lines.
Yeah, everything just takes one card. Everything's just one square to each location.
Done.
I did it. I went from Sapporo to Tokyo. One trip.
That's right. The Sydney version one takes forever and costs like trillions and trillions of dollars. And then when it's finally completed, all the cars, all the trains are cracked and they have to do it all.
Yeah, it doesn't work properly.
And then they break down and you have to build bus lines that take double as long. Yes.
That's right. Yes. Oh, my God. Ticket to Ride Sydney. It just has a sign that says track works the whole time.
Oh, no. You're going to pay tolls as nice well.
That's right. This is a good little segue to talk about how cool it is with board games and how they're all themed around something. So it's like, this is a game that you are making train tracks. Like, that's something that you don't really get to do in real life. So and code names. You're playing a secret agent. You're trying to find like these other secret agents around and stuff. I think that's
Liam,
really
what
nice.
Was that one you were telling me about earlier? Liam, were you telling me that one called Paycheck?
Oh, yeah, Payday, yeah. You're a calendar, right? Yeah, so you play, the board is a calendar and you go through the calendar and you've got bills to pay, and at the end of the month you get paid. And I said to Archie, why would you play that now as an adult? Because you do that anyway.
It's just real life.
I guess it's the same way as though. It's the same reason why people play The Sims, though. It's like it's still kind of an escape, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm paying bills better than I do in real life.
That's it. It's like, wow, I can actually pay these bills.
Jess. Oh, no.
Okay, so it's my go. I'm up with the...
So far, Catan, Mysterium, Codenames, and Ticket to Ride have all gone. That tracks, I think. I think that tracks.
I think that's fine, yeah. I mean, that seems about right. So, all right, my next game... Yeah, nah, that one goes in the bin. my next game, and also topping the list... Number one of games that you could not make today, Pandemic. So this is another co-op game. I think we've played it anywhere between 3 and 6 people, and it works pretty well with all of them. Essentially, you are a crack team of, I guess, your scientists, your... all sorts of different professions, actually, that are trying to contain a global pandemic that consists of 4 different viruses, and you're spending your time clearing up infections that or outbreaks that happen in cities, and also simultaneously looking for cures. It's another co-op game, and it's one of those games that can just get so out of control so quickly. And I think that over the last couple of years, you know, it's kind of, I guess, a little bit ironic playing this game because...
But it sold out during the pandemic. 2020, it was sold out.
So I got it for Christmas from you guys, I think, in 2020, maybe?
I think it was 2020,
or was it 20... Yeah, so it was sort of... and it's honestly a game that if you made it today, it would probably be a little bit on the nose. It's just... it's not a topic that really you should be making money off, but they made it back, I think it was like sort of 2014, so they're safe, I guess you could say.
Yeah, they're safe. And, made so much money, right?
It's a super, super fun game. Most of the time is spent discussing what next action you're going to use. Each player has their own special ability, how they're going to use that best, whether your time is best spent clearing up infections or trying to get somewhere so you can find a cure. They've also brought out what's called a legacy version of this game, which means that you do need to play with the same people, but the way that the game finishes in that session affects the next game. So it's kind of like a story that goes on. So are parts of the game that you don't open until you finish like the previous part of the story. So I think that's something in our future that we should really think about looking into.
I'll be in on that. The thing about pandemic, though, just looking at the list of that we've got so far, it's the hardest one on the list. And also it kind of is like Catan in that you're all playing together, so you're not playing against each other, but you're playing against the game itself, right? And the game will actively ruin your life and your plans. And we can all have this amazing plan where, all right, Arch, you do this, you go down there and you get rid of that, then Jasper, I'll bring you over to this part of the world and you can fix this here and then we'll cure that. And then suddenly something happens, an outbreak or whatever, and you're like, oh, I think we just lost like the whole game.
Yeah. The first time we played, we had, I think, a really good combination of different skills and utilities for our characters. We won that game, and then since then we have never won that game ever again.
Never won. It's wild, right?
Surprisingly, it has fallen out of the rotation because it's just so hard. And so many times you'll finish a game after like an hour and a half or 2 hours and just go, oh my God.
Damn it.
That was so stressful. That was so stressful.
It's super demoralizing, yeah.
Oh, can we just play some Uno or something afterwards?
Yeah,
please. Like,
really
oh,
easy.
God, I need a break. Oh,
yeah, it does. It feels like watching, like, a really long, depressing movie sometimes. Because, and you get to the end and there isn't really, like, a... It's kind of what watching Old Country No Country for Old Men felt like to me, where it was just like, it was really long. There was this really like oppressive villain, like constantly sneaking up and like harassing the main characters. And then at the end, everybody died off screen and the bad guy won. So it was like, it just felt like it can feel really demoralizing. Yeah. Anyway,
Have you guys seen 12 Years a Slave?
Yes.
That is exactly how I felt in that movie. There's bits in that movie where like I just sat there, just got, oh my God, this is so stressful and so hard and so sad. Yeah. That's how pandemic makes me feel, which is why it was number 13 on my list.
Well, I reckon if we're all comparing it to a movie, there's one with Kirsten Dunst in it called something like Melancholia or something. And it's about basically another massive planet colliding with Earth and there's nothing anyone can do. So it's just like, oh, well, that's what it reminds me of. Oh, but dear. I've got a happy one to get us back into the happy mood.
Yes,
after
please.
So this is pick number 6.
Yes, and this is one that we've all played, and I'm really happy that I get to pick it. It's Sheriff of Nottingham. Such a fun game. So much
Very
fun.
Nice.
So basically, it will be what's it called? Asymmetric game, I think, where one person is playing against the rest of the players. So the Sheriff of Nottingham will not allow any goods and services into the town unless they get a bit of a bribe, right? So one person plays the sheriff. Each round, actually, one person plays the sheriff and the rest all play people who are trying to sneak either contraband in or just legitimately trying to get some apples in to sell them at the market in the middle. And the temptation to sneak contraband, it's just unbelievable. But you can pay the sheriff off with some coins and the sheriff can be like, no, all of you, you can all pay me 5 gold coins and I'll let everyone in. And then there's fighting amongst everyone. No, I'm legitimately bringing bread in. I haven't done anything wrong. But the person with like 25 kilos worth of pepper that's not allowed in is like, I'll happily pay 5. It's so much fun. Such a funny game.
It's really good.
And like code names, you know, it really depends on the personalities because it's all about either lying or not lying. And I've done both tactics, like where I've gone the whole entire thing where I've just been absolutely honest and then the next one, not so much. You just gotta try. And it's fun to try and see how people predict who you are going to be in that game. It's so fun.
That's what it matters, like what personality you are.
Yeah.
It's interesting that this is the first deception-based game that we've had on this list because we do play quite a lot of them.
A lot of them.
I think, yeah, we've played quite a few in our time. And I think at some point you seem to think that, oh, I've got a pretty good read on this person. And then the circumstances of the game change. And in different situations, different people are just so good. I think the best thing about this game, I think maybe not strictly asymmetrical because the role of the sheriff rotates.
Yeah, that's true.
But
yeah,
I think the fact that everybody gets a shot at it, yeah. And, you know, you say, oh, well, I let you through before. Why don't you let me through now? And you can, but no, you can make a deal and you can say you're going to do it, but nothing's binding until the deal actually happens. So you can just completely screw people over, which is a lot of fun.
You could be the biggest dick of a sheriff ever. You could be the good guy sheriff or you could be the villain sheriff, depending on what movie you're in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. It's basically like TSA, like the American Security Services, the game, but fun.
That's great. Oh, I'm gonna use that as whenever anybody says, "How do you play it?" That's how I'm gonna describe it. That's brilliant.
Pretty much.
Leah, you get the next pick.
Oh, I do too.
Because we're back at the start of the snake, so you get the first pick of round 3.
Okay, I'm gonna go old school with this one. And it's my only old school on here. And it's Boulder Dash. Because remember Christmas, we would have so much fun playing it to the point where there's actual references and quotes that we still use today from Boulder Dash games. But this one's a lot of fun. So what you do is
it is a lot of fun.
Everybody has a turn. No, you all play together, don't you? So simultaneously, I mean.
Yeah.
So there'll be there'll be one card and someone can pick either a name, a year, I'm trying to cast my memory back, a movie, a word. So you got to give a definition of a word, and there's another one I can't quite remember, so we're going to have to play it again. And everybody has to write down a definition of all of, like, one of those things, and then they've got to try and make it believable enough so that everybody else picks yours as the actual proper definition. So, you know, say the words Boulder Dash, and I say, oh, wait, a mechanism to get boulders down hills in a safe way, I reckon that's a not bad one. People be like, that sounds boring enough. Yeah, let's get it. And then some people just go super elaborate. You're like, Archie, that's you. I know that's you. You've used that one before. That kind of thing. So, yeah, Boulder Dash. I love that one.
It is a great one. It's something that I haven't played for, wow, I would have said
years.
Upwards of 10 years.
Yeah, yeah. Probably. Yeah.
That one might need
I'm
to
gonna
make
find
its way
it.
Back
I'm going
to
find it
again.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Good idea. All right, so is it my go again?
Yes, I want to see what you pick. This is your third pick.
I'm actually going to pick what is actually my favorite game. But I just wanted to get some other picks out because I thought other people would get them. So Cosmic Encounter.
Yes.
the game that I will not shut up about.
Oh, my God. And we've since played it once.
Yeah. No, I've played it a couple
Jesper, have you been able to play it with other people? Have you played it with other people?
Yeah, I've played it a few times now, so yeah, I know what it's all about.
Yeah, cool.
You guys would have heard the spiel before, but, you know, it's basically anyone who's played Risk, it's Risk without any of the shit parts. Everyone's playing a different alien race, everybody has encounters with other players. So basically you're trying to take the home planets of other players and you're invading their space. And each encounter, each player is able to ask for allies. So myself as the attacking player can ask for an alliance with any other player. And then the defending player can also ask for alliances from any of the other players. And those can help you win the encounters and win territory. But they might also come back to bite you later. Somebody might want to screw you over because you allied against them previously. The best thing about this game is that everybody gets their own alien race that's unique to them, and they have some kind of game-breaking power that just completely flips the game on its head, and nobody knows what those powers are until they're used for the first time. So everybody's in the dark about it until you go, oh, but hang on. I now win this encounter
this.
Because this particular power, yeah, I can do this. So then everybody has to look out for them after that. So awesome game. I think it's a lot of fun.
And a lot of replayability as well, right?
I think so, because everybody has a different alien power on each occasion. And obviously if you're playing with different people, you are using different powers and making different alliances. So, yeah, that's my pick. That's my favorite game ever at the moment. And hope to play a lot more of it.
Favorite game ever at the moment.
hope to play a lot. Well, I mean, my favorite game ever changes all the time, dude. Depending on what week it is. So
there you go. depending what the newest game is.
Correct.
Because new is always better.
Correct. New is always better.
Yes. I'm a big fan of game breaking
mechanics.
I'm a big fan of alien powers, and that game definitely has some game breaking things.
There's
and I love
of.
It.
Yeah.
I just think it's great. And it's like, don't care if you're going to win this fight. I'm just going to game break and just destroy your invasion because I can.
That's right.
Because, like, how? It's like, well, that's what my card says. I can destroy you. It's like, oh, okay great.
All right.
Well, I guess Leah can't be beaten then.
It's like if in Monopoly you landed on somebody's space that had a hotel and then you say, no, but you pay me. You pay me. Like, that's sort of how.
Yes.
That's how sort of game breaking it can be. Yeah.
Sorry, sir. Yes.
Yeah. And it's great because you don't know until it actually happens. So, yeah, great game.
Yeah,
lots of arguments I promised to do this, but they're not doing it. And, yeah. All right. So, two picks from Archie now, right?
Yes. Two
must
picks.
Be interesting.
I'm going to pick one newer one that we've played a little bit of and then one older one that is. Look, it's funny when I say it's in my top five games all time. That's kind of the list we're putting together. But this is like an all-time. This is an all-time game that I didn't pick earlier because I didn't think either of you were going to pick.
I've only been picking crap games so far.
So that game that is probably my favorite childhood game is Connect 4.
Oh,
that is a tabletop game for me.
Dude, nice. I didn't even think of that one.
Connect 4 is. For me, Connect 4 is the king of 1v1 games that is, look, the strategy, once you've played it enough, is not that complicated. And if you're playing against someone of similar level, you both know what each other are trying to do. It's just who can do it
such
better.
Such a sibling game.
And, such a sibling game. Very often it can turn into a tie or, like, whoever just puts the last counter in that order. But I don't even care because the way you do it is you play it in like a best of five or a best of seven, like you're in a finals or
good.
A playoff series, which is so good. And Jasper and I have had so many games of Connect 4. Like we would have played in the hundreds and hundreds of games of Connect 4 against each other, which I think as a young young child developed my strategic spirit against him. Because, you know, at a certain time, I'm sure Jasper was like, phew, I can beat on Archie on this game, so I'm going to keep playing it. And then eventually I would have gotten to an age where I've become a little bit more even, and now I'd say we're pretty even at it.
Yeah, look.
And so, like, you can sit down to play it, and you have no idea who's going to win.
I think every older brother has had that humbling experience where their younger brother beats them for the first time at something. Often it's basketball. Often it's some video game. For me, it was Connect Four. It was video games, yeah. For me, it was like that moment when, oh, I can't just beat Archie every time now. Which was very humbling. I think, you know, you finally sort of caught up on an intellectual level in terms of that particular game. And yeah, it was a bizarre experience, but very rewarding because after that, the game gets better as soon as you find somebody who can play it to your level, because, I mean, that's what you want, right? You want somebody who can actually...
That's what you want.
So yeah, super fun game. I didn't even consider that, even though
I,
like you said, probably would have played hundreds and hundreds of games of that game. Didn't even think about it.
Connect Four is almost a party trick game for me now, like where I can turn up to a house party or a youth hostel or something and they'll have a Connect Four set and I'll go, oh, who wants to have a game of Connect Four? And some big dog will turn up and go, oh, yeah, righto, mate. Sit down. Let's have a couple games. And just go, bam, 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 bam. And just kind of knock them out a good, you know, 4-0 clean sweep or a 4-1. And then it's like, all right, line up. Who's next? And just play King of the Hill, Connect Four. And it's just great. Just puts people in their place.
I was at a pub the other night playing somebody, and we actually made a rule that I had...
At the pub?
And I had to connect five. Because it was just...
Oh, wow.
Oh, no. My favorite thing about Connect Four is like when you're sizing up an opponent and they sit down and then they put the first counter in the corner and you go, all right mate, this is over. Yeah. All right.
I'm sure there's some equivalent...
Let me teach you a lesson.
There's some equivalent move in chess that I would probably do. Because I suck at chess so much, where I would just move the one pawn and whoever's sitting across from me would be like, oh, I'm going to get this guy in like,
that's the end.
Yeah, in four moves or whatever. There's got to be some kind of equivalent. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, that's so nice good. Pick. Nice one.
So the king's the most powerful piece,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, so that's my number. That's my third round pick. My first pick of round four is going to be one we've played with family a couple times. And I think that is almost the best place to play it because you have so many different personalities and age groups. And it's Cockroach Poker. Cockroach Poker, it's a card game if you haven't played it. And there's like six or eight different types of insects. Everyone has a certain amount of the deck. And basically you've got to put a face down card and pick someone around the circle to give it to and just go, Leah, this is a spider. And then Leah has to decide whether I'm telling the truth or telling a lie. And she can go, that is a spider, or that is not a spider. And then she has to flip it over. If it is a spider, it gets added to her hand. And then if she gets four of the same insect, she loses. If Leah doesn't trust herself, or no, if Leah guesses correctly, then it goes back to me. And I go, damn, and then I have to go again. So if you can't actually lie effectively to someone or tell the truth effectively to someone, then you just lose straight, like, pretty quickly. If Leah doesn't want to decide, she can decide to pass it on and then have a look at it, and then she has to lie or tell the truth and pass on to someone else. So the game can go around. The best thing is that you can play it with people who you've never really played board games with. So we played it with Mum, and Mum is not your typical board game or tabletop game person. She kind of has this kooky, confused kind of demeanor when she plays games at the best of times. But now when you put it in Cockroach Poker, you don't know if she's bluffing or if she's actually being a kook. And so she'll just like grab a card from the top of her pile and just pop on the table and go, this is a cockroach. And then you go, she clearly has no idea what it is. And it'll be a cockroach. And you go, wait, was that on purpose? Or is she, I don't know what's that. And then she'll do that all game, and you have no idea what's going on.
I remember that.
It's great fun.
Yeah, I remember playing that, you know, exact game, and I think the real issue with that was because Mum was either playing the long con with that, or it was actually what she was like, because the game that we'd played previous to that, she had completely misunderstood the rules and sort of torpedoed the game as a result. And so I think that played into her sort of demeanor at that point and allowed her to bluff really effectively, which was great.
Tactics.
Awesome pick. Also, I think that game just takes all of the best parts of poker, in my opinion, which is all the bluffing, and just makes you do it all the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a great travel game as well because it's so small.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's just a pack of cards, basically. Jasper, you and I even played like a one-on-one game of it recently, where we're just looking at each other with a whole pack and just going back and forth the whole time. And it's a really good insight into how well do you know someone and how well can you read them, because you're constantly just checking whether they're lying or
every bluff turns into a really double bluff, and then sometimes a triple bluff and a quadruple bluff, and then you just go back and forth, and eventually you just end up flipping a coin in your head and going, I can't, I don't know, just
I've got no idea.
How many rats am I going to give him before he catches on?
Too good.
Okay.
All right, Jess, you got next pick. Round four.
This is one that I actually hope you guys have this on your list, because I think we all really, really love this one. It is Sushi Game.
Hey, I did have that. Yeah.
Good.
As Darling Chloe says, Sushi Game. It's not actually called Sushi Game. It's called Sushi Go.
Sushi Go, yeah.
Yeah. So essentially this game is constructed with the sushi train in mind. It's got a really unique mechanic whereby everybody has 10 cards and they all depict different types of sushi. So you've got nigiri, you've got some condiments like wasabi, you've got tea, you've got miso soup. And you pick which sushi you want and you put that down in front of you. So you get to keep that one. And then all of your hand passes to the left. And then whoever's on the right of you, their hand passes to you. And so you now have a completely new hand of sushi, and you have to pick another card from that and put that into your, I guess you call it a plate, right? In front of you.
Yeah.
And the reason this game is good is because you need different strategies. So different cards are worth different things when they're paired with other cards. So you might say, all right, I'm going to get a dumpling, which is worth more the more you get of them, and then get the next cards passed to you and there's no dumplings in there. Or you might try and pick a sashimi, which you need three of to actually get any points. And then somebody else puts down a sashimi at the same time.
And you're like,
they're obviously on the same strategy as you. So,
yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
It's a really easy game to pick up. It's awesome with lots of people. And they have so many different versions of the game. And I just don't think it could get old, because you could just play and play and play. And I think it's got that mechanic that, like, I haven't really seen before, where you're actually passing hands around. Which makes it a lot of fun. It also makes it
sharing
cards.
Yeah, yeah. And it makes it like a memory game as well. So you have to remember what cards were there in other people's hands when they came around to you. So super fun. There's actually two versions of it. There's the Sushi Go version, which is the small version, and then you've got the party version, Leah, which
Sushi
has
Go
a bunch
party.
More cards. And
different variations, so, which we haven't dipped into yet, but we definitely will. And it's such a great starter game. Like, it's a good one to do to sort of warm up at the beginning of the day.
Yeah, that's right.
I think the Sushi Game does something really well that's happened a couple of times with the games we picked, is that they've just taken the best elements of other games and then just made that the entire game but better. So, like, it's kind of like Go Fish, but now you can share hands and it's a memory thing as well, and it's sushi instead of just cards.
Or a little bit like Gin Rummy as well, where you're trying to make a hand and the cards are passing around. And also there's just so many different ways that you can score. And also, again, I really like the artwork. I think for me a big thing is the art design in a lot of games.
Oh, for sure.
And like a lot of the games that I've picked, they have just really nice visuals, and it's like, it's just fun to look at sushi that has like a cute little smiling face looking at you. Yeah. I don't know. It's kind of
nice. I can't eat you. You're not real. And also,
yeah, that's right.
Yeah. My pick for this round is one I thought was going to go earlier, but it didn't. Exploding Kittens, another nice. Really fun game.
Very, very nice.
Yeah, that's on my list too, yeah.
It's a good one because it's really easy to pick up. It doesn't take long for people to figure it out. But in the beginning, you do feel a bit bewildered with these handful of cards and you've got to read what they all do. You're like, what on earth is this doing? And basically there's, you all get, I think, one diffuse card, I think, if I recall correctly. And then there's just random exploding kitten cards within the deck. And if you pick them up and you've got that diffuse card that you can, you know, go, phew, diffuse, I can stay here for a bit longer in this game, but then you don't have a diffuse card anymore. But there are also ways that you can steal other people's diffuse cards so you can try and stay in the game. It's basically a last man standing sort of card game. It's so much fun. And watching people trying to either figure it out or be deceptive, it's always entertaining, I reckon.
Yeah. I think that's another one where Archie – where you said it's like one game but better. I feel like it's yeah. kind of Uno with fewer yeah. degrees of freedom.
Yeah.
Which is not a knock on it. It just I don't, you've all had those Uno games that just are interminable. They go forever and ever and ever. This one has a very clear end point where it's yeah. always going to end at this point. It's just whoever's left standing at that point takes the win.
And it also doesn't matter how far ahead someone is in that game. When it gets to the end, like there could be a game breaking kitten in there somewhere or
yep.
something. And yeah. then game goes out the window and the like far and away leader just loses just like that. Get a couple yeah. exploding kittens. It's amazing.
Yeah. So much chaos. And even if you're already out, it's still entertaining to watch just to see when something bad's yeah. going to happen to everyone else. So yeah. I love that game. Another one that I put on that I think is really good fun is Sequence.
This is your last pick, isn't
this
it?
This is my last pick, yeah. This mm-hmm. is my last pick. So,
yeah, so last round, guys. Yeah.
Yeah, this is the last round. So Sequence, it's actually a board, and the board's very nice. Got a whole deck of cards on it, like symbols of different cards on it, but you're also playing with, I think it's two decks of cards. Yeah, it's two decks of cards, and you've got to try, it's almost like Connect Four, and also you're playing cards, and you've got to try on the board to connect five cards in a row with your tokens. Everybody gets different colored tokens, and you can play with teams, which I think is really fun. You can have a team of two, but the teams are not allowed to talk to each other about any tactics or whatnot. So really love, particularly someone we know, Immy, when she tries to do like eye gestures at you. She's like, huh? And you're like, I don't know what that means. You're having some sort of seizure. What's going on? But it's a game that I haven't played for quite a while, and I'd be interested to play it again because there was a while where I was 100% addicted to it. And I've taken it on weekends away with like big groups of people, and it was just being played the whole time. People would come in and out, like, oh, it's my turn next. If you're out, I'll go. And it was just hours on hours of just Sequence. Good fun. So good fun.
Good pick. That's a game that I haven't played for quite some time. So maybe I need to have another go at it.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. And this has just reminded me of so many games that have fallen out of rotation because there's so many new games coming in.
Yeah.
And we need to have them more on a cycle than what we do. Although there's just, maybe there's just too many good tabletop games and you can't possibly play them all when you're only playing it once every, you know, 2 weeks to a month for a couple yeah. of hours.
Well, that's right. Yeah, exactly. I think, you know, every session you're only going to have enough time and energy to play a couple at a time. Yeah. And obviously you're going to have to pick the ones that you're most wanting to play, which is going to be tough. Like it is going to be hard to pick which ones, especially because some people don't like certain games. So
yeah, that's
you have
true,
to
yeah.
be picking them for the group too. Yeah. Anyway, so my last pick, you know what? This is okay. So this game actually wasn't in the picks that I'd put down, but
wow. Oh, it's a latecomer.
Yeah. I think just reminiscing about like games that we've played in the past and how much fun we've had and just the people that we've played. Avalon.
Oh, that was in my list. That was on my list. Yeah, it was close. Yeah.
So I actually feel like this was one of the first ones that we were playing a lot. Like we played a bunch of board games for a while, but I think this feels like one of the first ones that we got where we were just hammering this game and playing it like quite often. I think it worked really well with the personalities that we had playing. Basically, everybody is split into two different teams. One team is the what are they called? Servants of Arthur or whatever, and the others are the minions of Mordred. And you go on quests, and the minions are basically out to sabotage those quests. The minions know who each other are, but the good guys basically don't know who they are or who each other are.
Don't know anything.
So it's essentially a game of just everybody trying to convince everybody else that they are a good guy, and trying to talk the quest giver into taking them on these quests. And so it devolves into a lot of arguments. This game isn't going to be for everybody. If you get sort of nervous under pressure and you don't like lying and you find it difficult to deal with really
don't
intense
play most of these games.
Yeah. This game is not for you because you will be placed under a microscope, and often it can just turn into, I guess, whoever can shout the loudest will just win the game. But
should our family can just go up and up and up and up in volume.
Too
that's right, exactly.
Loud.
Yeah.
Too loud. Too loud.
But I think that this game's fantastic. I think everybody should try and play it once. Yeah, there's a lot of liberty to basically do and say whatever the hell you want in this game. So I think I'm happy with that pick. I think we've got a lot of good memories from that game, and maybe that's one that needs to make it back into the rotation as well.
Agreed.
It's a great game. I mean, if people have played Mafia before, it's basically a more structured version of Mafia or
pretty much
to
Secret
Hitler, like those sabotage kind of games there. One of the funny things is where, like, depends what kind of group you're in. It's very easy for some people, if they're new to the group and haven't played in this maybe more outgoing, more aggressive group they're with that day, they can very easily just, like, shy away into the corner and just be left behind because they're not willing to use their voice.
Yeah.
Or they just get tugged. It's like, why do you think you are this? Why should I take you? Why do you think you're a good guy? Why do you think you're a good guy? And if you're not up for the challenge, then you're just going to go,
it's horrible.
Sorry,
I can't take it.
Yeah, I think, it's going to be a pretty horrible experience.
Yeah.
You've got to be on the same level.
Yeah, and a lot of the time, I mean, it's not going to interest a lot of people because the gameplay really is just trying to figure out who people are and trying to infer certain things from very little information. You're trying to infer things and try and come up with theories. And if you're not really good at sort of inventing a character and sticking to that, you're not going to enjoy this game. So very much acknowledge that this game's not going to be for everyone, but I think it's a great game. And I think you should at least try it once.
It's a good pick.
Like
it's a good fifth pick.
I'm glad it went in.
All right, so last pick.
Last pick. There's so many choices, so I guess we'll talk about some that are left off the list afterwards if we have time. Difficult choice here. I think I'm going to have to go for a family favorite, one that we've been playing since the dawn of the family, and I think a lot of families have. It's been turned into variations where other games are included, and now it's just absolutely hilarious. It's Taboo.
Yes.
It is probably the game as a whole family we've played the most, I would say. It's so easy to pick up. You've got no problems. You turn a card. You have to try and describe that word to your team without using five of the words, like the buzzwords they've got underneath. And it's just get as many as you can in a minute or 2 minutes or however much time the thing's given you. And then just rack up points as a team. It's the kind
so
of thing
fun.
That... depending on what team you're with, like you can just put super teams together of Steph and Leah, who can just go, oh, you know, the time we went to the thing, oh, pretzels. Or,
on the fridge, on the fridge.
Around things like that. Or, yeah. Or the thing. Or you could, like, Jasper, me and I could just say random things like, oh, when we went away that time, oh, Japan. Or like, oh, you know, anything. Absolutely anything.
Yeah.
There's so many great quotes we have from that. One of the best parts of it is being on being the timer person, just looking over the person's shoulder with the buzz thing and just waiting to see if they're saying the buzzword. So you can just go, ah.
It's actually about the only time I would think being a referee would actually be fun.
Yeah. Oh, no. And just like, depending what, like how shocking you can be when you say that ah, or that nope, you can really put the person off and they can get really flustered, which is amazing. Yeah.
It's such a great game. Yes. What a great choice. It's such, again, really simple game with just so much, I guess, ways to express your own personality in it. So awesome game. Mm.
I have one variation on that game as well that was not included, but it's one that we play even more now. And it's actually really popular. There's a lot of people play it. Everyone calls it different things because there's no actual board or like set that you do with it. We call it Chabu, but I've heard people call it the hat game. I've heard we learned it from a Dutch girl, so for a while we call it the Dutch game. But it's basically like round one is taboo, except all the words, it starts with all the words are just written down by people. So you put in whatever names, movies, places you want in there, and they're all put in a hat and folded up. Round one's taboo. Round two, you only get to say one word and that's it to describe it. So you have to think back to all the words that were said in the first round. And then round three, you play charades with it.
So much
and
fun.
Then round four, if you're looking for a bonus round, you play charades, but while you're dressed in a bed sheet.
That's an Archie variation.
I came very close to wetting myself laughing last time you did that one. I think my favorite thing about both of those two games is just watching somebody get absolutely flustered and not be able to say anything. And then their team just looking at them, just begging them to say anything. Just be like, just
shouting.
What is it? What? Just say something. Say something.
Give us anything.
There's someone we all know, and they go, oh, I don't know, I don't know. And you're like, I don't know.
Yeah. It's the person with the face.
I don't know. Yeah. Who's
it's the thing. Yeah. It's the one. It's the person.
All right, so should we recap our picks?
Yeah, so
Leah, give us your team and then we'll criticize you.
All right. I can read through the whole list. Leah, Catan, Jasper, Mysterium. Archie then went Codenames and Ticket to Ride. Jasper then went Pandemic. Leah, Sheriff of Nottingham. And then Balderdash, Jasper Cosmic Encounter, Archie Connect 4 and Cockroach Poker, Jasper Sushi Go, Leah Exploding Kittens and Sequence, Jasper Avalon, and Archie Taboo. Good games.
It's an awesome game. Good list. These are the ones that I had on my list that didn't make it in. Six Nymphs, I just don't think we've played that quite enough to really get into it, but I really enjoyed it like the two times we played. Unstable Unicorns.
That's
a really good one. Secret Hitler. I've only played that twice, but both times that was really, really fun. Yeah. Dixit. Dixit was a little bit too similar to Mysterium, I thought, to actually pick.
Yeah, agreed.
But, anyway, those were the ones that I had that didn't make it on.
Archie?
The only other ones I had on my list, other than that, I had Unstable Unicorns and Secret Hitler as well. The other ones were Mastermind and Bananagram. Bananagram is basically speed Scrabble, and Mastermind's almost like the precursor to Wordle.
Yeah, it is. Pick a code. That's a perfect way of putting it. Yeah.
But good games. didn't quite make the top five today.
Yeah, unfortunately. I had Dixit as well, and then I had one that no, you guys haven't played, but it's really good fun called Jaipur. It's only a two-player game, very easy to learn, and then you can't stop playing it. But it's a bit hard when it's like, hey, everyone, come over and play, but only two of us are going to play.
I was going to say, Leah, do you want to give us two of your dishonorable mentions?
Oh, well...
So games that you go, these people think they are good board games, but they are actually dishonorable games.
You know, particularly after playing Mysterium, I'd have to say Cluedo. Because Cluedo is Mysterium but not as good, and it takes way longer to play because you've got to move, you know, like you got to roll in order to move a certain amount of spots on the board.
There's
where Mysterium, you're just doing it.
Like what? Yeah. There's all of that. Yeah, there's all of that space in the middle of the board that just is useless. And the dice, I don't know, I don't really like leaving up the chance. What about you, Archie? Is there another one that you think that people think is good?
Look, it's the classic, right? Like Monopoly, people think is a great board game, or that's like, oh, well, should we play board games tonight? Yeah, what do you want to play? Monopoly. It's
no,
like, no.
Banned.
That's a horrible idea. Like the few games of Monopoly I think I've finished, they've taken 3 to 5 hours. And after hour one, it's boring as hell.
So anybody, if anybody gets stuck in a game of Monopoly, this is how you cheese it. So there's only a certain amount of houses, and if you purchase all of the houses, nobody else is allowed to buy houses. So generally what you're supposed to do is you get 4 houses and then buy a hotel. Don't upgrade your houses to hotels.
Just refuse.
Just keep all of the houses, and no one else is able to use houses. There you go. Cheese. Monopoly is cheese. Done. And you will never lose again. I think my other thing about games is that a great board game, obviously you want to have some skill. You want to be able to win if you are skillful, but there needs to be some kind of chance involved in it. I think that, like, all board games, I mean, more so than, you know, sports, you would think, there's a lot of chance, but it can't be too much chance. It's just the right amount, like just enough that it can sort of throw a game one way or the other. But any game that is just entirely dependent on a dice roll or a spinning wheel or something is just useless. So like Snakes and Ladders, that, why would you play that? Like it's just whatever comes up on the dice.
Yeah.
Or something that we've actually played quite a fair bit of, The Game of Life.
It's you land on the thing,
and then your job, your salary, your everything is just based on chance. And then you get to the end and go, oh,
how many kids you have? Yeah. Oh, horrible.
Yeah. And I don't know. I just sometimes when I played that and looking back on it, you're thinking like, is this just an allegory for real life that we all just drift through and everything is just left up to chance? So, yeah, anyway, I would say if you haven't played board games for a while, just think about one of these ones. If any of them felt appealing to you, jump on Amazon. You'll be able to get it tomorrow, and then find some people to play it with. Go watch a YouTube video about the rules and just jump in. Honestly, I think there's a game out there for every single person, and it's a hobby
and every
that
single
I think
group.
Everybody should get into. It's awesome. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Well, this has been lots of fun, and now
it's
I just
awesome
want to play
fun.
All the games. Yeah.
Me too.
So usually what happens is I'll say on that note, thank you very much, Tom, and he says either something or makes a sound. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to do that, no pressure, but I'm going to go Archie first. On that note, Archie, thank you very much.
Oh. He took my sound.
Jasper, on that note, thank you very much.
What's he going to do now? Oh, no. Oh, no.